Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. We will get back to the news of the day here, and that is Stephon Diggs out for the season with an ACL, as D'Amico Ryans had that to say earlier. He spoke in a presser, but he also spoke in the presser about maybe the even more concerning situation for this team, and that is up front on the offensive line, in particular at left guard. Obviously, there was a big enough issue in which in the first quarter, three drives in, the Texans decided to bench their former 15th overall pick in Kenyon Green. Obviously, there was something there. This was him today when asked by the media today if he is going to continue to start, if he is going to keep his job when it looks like Jarrett Patterson has the concussion, is not going to be able to play on Thursday. Here was D'Amico addressing the Kenyon Green situation today.
Kenyon is done fine. Kenyon, of course, like I said yesterday, he had some bad plays. A lot of guys had some bad plays, you know, and everybody's asking about Kenyon, and nobody feels, you know, worse about this than Kenyon, right? And nobody, he knows he has to play better. He will play better, and let's go to work. Like, that's what it's about. It's not about everybody trying to figure out, is Kenyon out or anything? Like, unless Kenyon is ready, he'll be ready to roll, and we won six games with Kenyon. Like, we got to keep going.
All right. Plenty don't sound like Kenyon is heading to the bench again.
No, it doesn't. It seems like, in fact, he doubled down on it, Chief. He doubled down on it. Kenyon Green is going to be your starting left guard, at least until you get some guys back healthy. Unless they're just not trying to let the cat out of the bag, which I think that would be a crappy thing to do, head coach, of bench a guy in a game and then make those kind of comments and not play him in a Thursday night game.
I think they would do it. I could see them doing it.
I don't, just
to throw off the opponent. Yeah,
that would be a bull jive move right now. Who knows, man? It seems like he's going to be the starting guard. It seems like they feel like they've won six games with him. They feel like he's played some good football along the way. Although of late, last couple of games, it has been as bad as we've seen. But they either don't have another option, or they're not ready to quite quit Kenyon Green yet, because he's going to play Thursday night, I believe.
No, I hear you, and I do, for the record. I think he will play there, but I'm just saying I could see the gamesmanship out there, and mm-hmm. you know, as coaches will do. But Clint, this thing is, to me, getting so dire here with the offensive line, and I've seen a lot of people, as we've talked about, Diggs texting in. And hey, forget receiver. They need to trade for a guard. Robert Hunt is the name for the Panthers that you hear a lot of. They need to trade for a guard. And listen, I think it's dire, and a change needs to be made. Because like this is eight weeks of this, and clearly, whatever it is, and to me it seems like it's as much mental as it is physical, if not more. It something, he's not picking it up. It's to the point where you said, we got to make a change. I can't believe I'm saying this, because I made such a fuss about this, and I still believe in this. I just think, Clint, that it is so dire. It would make more sense to me. Like, to me, I would first look at Kendrick Green. I would look to see if Kendrick Green can get himself ready. He's played guard there. He played a game against the Steelers where, before he got injured, he was doing at least a good enough job, Clint, where we just didn't see play after play after play he was making mistakes. But if that's not where you want to go, fellas, it would make more sense to me to move Tytus Howard from right tackle to left guard and put Blake Fisher in at right tackle. It would make more sense to me for them to do that on Thursday night against the Jets than to put Kenyon Green back there. And listen, and this is coming from somebody who I stumped screaming mad. I do never want to see Titus at guard. Never. But if the option is Kenyon Green and where they're struggling in with pass protection, I think it would make more sense and it would be a better move and they would have a better chance with CJ and their offense to run if Titus moved to left guard, Blake Fisher came in right tackle, than they would if they put him back out there at left guard. It to me is that bad.
Boy, you know, Ron, I have never.
You know how I feel about
it. I do. I've never. To be honest with you, that didn't cross my mind one time through all these struggles. You're the first person I personally heard say anything about it. And I'll be honest with you, I was not where you were immediately, but I eventually got there with Titus Howard, like, all right, it's time, games are over, let's get him back to right tackle and leave him alone. I think I agree wholeheartedly with you. I not only do I think it would make more sense, I think if you're really putting your best lineup out there and you're trying to win a football game, especially going against the Jets with Quinnen Williams in there and giving yourself a chance to at least try to protect your quarterback, I wholeheartedly agree with you. Hell, I think it's the smartest move.
Yeah, to me, if it is between, hey, man, we're gonna run Kenyon back out there. And listen, I don't want to miss. I don't want to send him over there. That is not what I would like to do. But right now, if you're trying to win big, win games, we saw Clint. He got pulled. He went back in there the first two plays.
Got him again.
The first two plays. Got him.
Yep.
Nailed him. And, like, to me, it wasn't – and if we're honest with – again, someone said, no, Howard sucks at guard. He may suck at guard, but Kenyon Green is something else. And I wonder maybe if Joe Mixon was running the football, if we would think his run blocking was as bad as it was last year at times when it sucked for everybody across the line. To me, the one thing that Titus didn't suck at guard was pass protection, because I think Titus picks that up.
Yeah.
Wow. I think Titus picks that up much better than he does. And I am not a fan of that idea. I remember stomping down, up and down at Buffalo Wild Wings last year. Don't do it. Don't ever do it. But it would make, and I know Titus, Titus might be pissed at me. Don't you say that. Shut up.
Well, that's where my mind immediately goes to, Ron. What you're saying makes so much damn sense. I'm mad at myself that I didn't think of that one. Good job, man. I'm tempted to think.
If it's if those are the options. Like,
Ron, I'm really tempted to think, if we don't see Titus Howard at guard, it's because Titus Howard said, I'm good. For once in the last, and it's really his whole NFL career, he looked at the organization and said, he didn't just tweet it. He didn't just put it in his Twitter bio. He literally looked at the organization and said, I'm not going to do what's best for the team. I'm going to do what's best for me. I'm a right tackle in this game. Because as you're saying it, I'm thinking, I mean, hell, you want to solve some real problems? Because clearly he's a good communicator. They've done it before. While the offensive line, not just protection, but the offensive line wasn't great with him at guard, it was never this bad.
Well, and it was really horrific in the run game. Especially, like, if we think about it, him and Tunzel next to each other, it wasn't like they were having problems pass protecting. There were times there was complaints of them not being able to move people in the run game.
Yeah.
But to me, clearly Joe Mixon has made a difference for the entirety of the offensive line. In the run game, where I think, we've watched Deuce Scruggs miss assignments and it work out.
Yeah,
with yards that he has gotten,
that's a great point, man. The best Texans offensive line that you can put out there right now is Titus Howard, your left guard.
And I would say this, and you may even disagree with this now that you thought of it. I think I would try Kendrick Green as the option first and leave Titus at right tackle. But as we saw, we were sitting down thinking, like, maybe Kendrick Green might go. And no, he was sitting over there on a Gatorade cooler. Like, he wasn't close to going in. I can see them not doing
Kendrick Green at fullback.
I bet you do. I can see them not doing it in the middle of the game, and they've not gone over this. But even now, they've done this over and over. To me, if we're sitting down there, you know, they said the coaches for the Colts sit around and discuss. If the Texans are sitting around there, we're sitting there talking, it's like, you know, Blake Fisher's a second-round pick who we've had in. He hadn't killed us, playing his natural position at right tackle. And, listen, Titus is a really good right tackle. We like him there, but... like, right now, he's probably, in pass protection, the best guard that we feel comfortable with to play left guard. So, some people text in, disagree. Hell yeah, Ron, I agree. Blake Fisher is better at right tackle than Titus, and Titus is better at left guard than Kenyon. Smart move to me. I am not one saying that I think Blake Fisher is a better right tackle than Titus Howard right now. But to the other point you made, like, I think it's night and day in terms of the comfort you would feel about Titus. Like, as we look at it, we at least know the ceiling that Titus Howard could keep Chris Jones out of the stat sheet in a four-quarter game, a game that went to overtime.
Yeah.
Chris Jones didn't get any pressures, didn't do anything with Titus playing left guard. That's the absolute ceiling. And I dare to think that the floor is anywhere what we saw from Kenyon Green.
You think they've even
considered this?
If they haven't, it's because Titus Howard told them at contract time, don't even think about it. Like that's the only way that they haven't
at least considered it.
But yeah, I mean, look, Ryan, like I said, as you're saying it, like there's no way that you think Kendrick Green, who you didn't even play after Patterson got hurt at the guard position, there's no way you think he's better at the guard position than Titus.
Yeah, someone texted in, I think the running game will suffer if you put Titus at guard.
Yeah, I think CJ might get killed if you don't.
If you keep running Kenyon Green, mind you, what I've said is if the option is Kenyon Green, I think that if the option is, all right, man, we're going to play Kenyon Green against Quinn Williams and the Jets front, and the rest of the way, like who the Lions, who's the former Texan they got. The big boy in the middle, run stopper. He went to the Bengals right after. He went,
oh, man, DJ Reader,
he's next.
They got another dude. The Lions got somebody else inside. That's a lesser known player. That's a bad.
Bite the kneecap off.
But I mean, if it's all right, we're just going with Kenyon, or the thought of Titus in there, and Blake Fisher. To me, that is a better move.
Yeah, look, and I'll tell you what, just to the texture there, you know, Kenyon's done some nice things in the run game, but he hasn't done anything in the run game that I don't think Titus can get accomplished. Now, I think Kenyon and Juice and Shaq, they play the position and they're built different to play guard, and that's why they're guards. And so Titus getting in there, you're going to get under his pads from time to time. It's not going to necessarily always look the same, but I think you'll still be able to run the football and block the run game as well as you have to date with Joe Mixon running the rock. I would think. I wouldn't worry about that part falling off. Like, remove Kenyon Green, put Titus Howard in, I wouldn't all of a sudden go, boy, you are killing the run game.
No,
I wouldn't feel that way.
And I would argue their best run play has been the stretch or the toss to Titus's side. Like, I would argue that, and I know things are a bit different as a tackle, but I would argue, like, he has helped with the run game at times this year. From the text line, our guy Nick goes vest mode, solid name. You guys are having revisionist history. Titus sucked at guard last year, and that's why we talked about it. No, I'm not. I made it very clear at the start of this. I was the number one person in this city jumping up and down saying he should not. He should not play guard again.
Is that my boy Ron?
Nick, I'm telling you, it's that bad.
Yeah.
with Kenyon, yeah, and they know it's that bad.
Well, we're all aware that we're talking about a dire situation here. I mean, we're not talking about an ideal situation, but. Yeah, look, I was a guy that I was wrong. Like, I was going to die on the heel of the reason you pay Tytus Howard is because he can also play guard. And Tytus did not play a good enough guard in terms of them paying him a big contract to play both tackle and guard. So I'm one that had to come around to Ron's way of thinking of, like, this has just got to stop. It can't happen again. I mean, it was a hard bullet to bite for me. But now, I would say it would be a significant upgrade at guard if Tytus was there. Significant.
Yeah, I'm just saying right now you are scared and concerned to death every time they have to drop back and pass. Is this going to be the hit?
And that is no exaggeration either.
Is this going to be the hit? Is this? Yeah. I listened to Marcus Spears saying, he said, I just don't know how we missed DeForest Buckner. And nobody gets a hand on DeForest Buckner on a pass play. Nobody. One of the biggest humans in the world. He waltzes to your quarterback. And Kenyon's helping Tytus, or helping Laramie. You know what? Kenyon might have jumped all the way to the other side of the field to go help Tytus. He may have run past three defensive linemen to go run over there to help
full
Tytus.
Guard slide all the way to the right tackle.
What?
Oh, that's terrible.
All right. Coming up, based off what we've seen, I'm curious from you all on this. Based off what we've seen, is Stephon Diggs and what he's brought to this team on the field, is it really that difficult to replace? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
We like the guys we have, and our guys have been here. They've been working, understand how we do things, what we do. It's all the same. Nobody has to do anything extra. Joe still just has to be Joe. Nobody has to do anything extra. It's just everybody has to continue to do their job and do their part to help our team, you know, be successful. And that's just about every guy going out, executing, and playing to the best of their ability. That's all I ever ask of our guys. Excited to see who steps up next.
All right, that's head coach D'Amico Ryans. As they move forward, understanding they've lost Stephon Diggs for the season with a torn ACL, and they've got no choice but to move forward quick because they play a game in 2 days in New York, as they will play Thursday Night Football on Halloween against the New York Jets, who are desperate. They've lost five in a row, desperate for a win after they lost to one of the worst teams, as I've said, in North America, the New England Patriots. They're desperate if they want to stay in it, and they face this team coming up. And, you know, there's so many thoughts that come about with Stephon Diggs, and we've had several conversations. We've heard from many of you through text line and on the phones the thoughts of it. But as we kind of look down on the field, Clint, and what he has brought to the table on the field, Is he difficult? What he has brought to the table, is that difficult to replace? Because we can clearly see, Clint, Nico Collins is difficult to replace. What he brings to the table, his skill set, it is difficult to replace. Joe Mixon, when he's not there, you clearly see it's difficult to replace. From what we've seen from Diggs, how difficult is what he brings to the table on the field to replace?
I don't think it's irreplaceable.
It's not up to the level of those two we just named.
No, not in no way, shape, or form. There's not been one moment, and this is no disrespect, it's just reality. There's not been one moment, and I've watched every Texans game in real time. I've watched the live copy multiple times. I've watched the film, right? I mean, there's not been one moment where I thought, man, I don't know if this team can make it without Diggs. I don't know, like, there's not been one moment where I was like, man, Diggs is irreplaceable. I mean, Diggs is not a guy that this team can win ball games without. Like, that production, that catch, that run after catch, that is just elite. That right there is different. Like, that,
Does seem to move within the scheme a lot, and not.
Yeah, it's the reality of what they've asked him to do here. I don't know if it's because he doesn't have what he used to have in Buffalo, and I don't know if it's because Buffalo had a more vertical attack, a more aggressive attack, and they feel like he fit this better here. But he's more of a possession receiver here, and while he's been good in that role. It's not something that I look at and I go, boy, there's nobody else can do that on this team. Like I feel, and y'all know how critical I've been of Robert Woods. But I feel like Robert Woods. Now I know Robert Woods is not Steph Diggs. I'm not saying that by any means, but I believe that he could fill in and be the veteran, be the savvy possession receiver. The way in which he produces is he knows the soft spots in these zones. He knows when to give the quarterback his eyes when he's getting pressured. He can play any position. He's your move guy like Diggs would be. For lack of better terms, he'd be a poor man Steph Diggs. I believe he can produce in a very similar way. I believe in
someone in, just texted in, there's not a huge drop off to me when Robert Woods is on the field in place of Diggs.
Well, I just believe that when there's in eight ball games, if Robert Wood gets the targets in the run that Diggs, which he won't because Tank and Nico probably will, but if he were, I think he could get you three touchdowns. If he were, I think he could give you a 9 or 10 or even more catch ball game if the defense presented it to the offense. I think he could do those things. In no way, shape, or form am I saying he's Steph Diggs. Steph is significantly more explosive than him than he is, I believe. But when it comes down to it, I believe that your $7 million insurance policy in Robert Woods is a really, really good replacement that if you have to use it and Steph Diggs does get injured, I believe it's a really good number to call with Robert Woods.
Yeah, I definitely, Clint, don't think he has played to the level of the receiver he was in Buffalo since he's been here.
But a lot of that, Ron, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of that has to do with what he was asked to do.
Yeah.
Like, he's not outside running go routes and catching whole shots
They have him in a different spot, right. But I think it's probably fit him where he is right now anyway in his career. And it's even shown when, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, and some of the offensive line may have something to do with it. I would agree with that. But, you know, this is three games that Nico's been out. And, you know, it hasn't felt like, oh, Steph has been, like, you know, the guy that can replace what he.
No, it's been doing. A group effort. Yeah,
without a doubt
been a group effort.
They had the really bad game against the Packers, obviously. But I mean, he's looked like a good two.
Yeah.
And to me, the big thing that I think he does bring, though, is if you're going to kind of shift coverage to Nico and put your better corner on Nico, I do think I have a lot more confidence that Diggs destroys lesser corners than like a Robert Woods or Xavier Hutchinson.
I'll agree with that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I think like if you're you're swinging coverage to Nico, and then your number two corner, or it because he's in the slot, your slot corner is up against him in the slot, I think he creates and runs better routes and creates more separation than Robert Woods. But it's not as if it's like a Joe Mixon or Nico Collins type of situation where it's like, I have countless runs and catches those two have had where it's just like, damn. Like, you can't.
Ain't nobody else doing that.
Like, you can't. Yeah. Like, you know, he's going up. Nico's going up between two people and taking the ball down. Nico's taking a screen and turning it into 30, 40 yards in that thing. So, But that being said, though, Robert Woods would be the next one. I'm not certain they have anybody on the roster right now that I feel comfortable with that can do those things. Unless when Nico comes back, Clint decide to move Tank into that move.
Sure.
That move.
Well, one thing is for sure is if they don't make a move, if they don't make a move at the wide receiver position and go get somebody with this Steph Diggs news, they absolutely have to sit down Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz and say, hey, fellas, I don't know what's been going on. Don't know. I have no idea what the problem's been, but we need both of y'all to be the 2023 version of yourself.
Ooh.
From here moving forward. You know, there's a good chance that they needed that anyway. They were going against the teams like you're talking about, the better defenses. They were going to need that anyway. But it's damn sure now without Diggs.
Yeah, it's apparent.
Yes,
absolutely apparent. All right, coming up as we continue through. Hey, I want to give a shout out to another Houston athlete that it's early, but boy, he is coming along. We'll discuss that. And we saw an AFC contender yesterday on Monday Night Football. We see where they are, the Steelers, and we see now where the Texans are with some of their injury issues and how they've played of late. Have the Steelers crept up on the same level or passed the Texans? We'll discuss that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Listen, man, I got to give some props. And I'm telling you, I get sports turned on. I get a gleam in my eye and a little sweat behind my knees when I see greatness and young guys start to get it. Boner
alert. Okay.
And I know I shouldn't do this. He has done this to me multiple times. He has done this to many of you multiple times. But Jalen Green got me again last night.
I didn't see it, man. On Monday Night Football. What'd I miss?
He was big time last night. They played the Spurs on the road, and he was the absolute reason. He had the jumper going. He had 24, 25 in the first half. But to me, it was late in the fourth quarter. Just big time as they had a pretty healthy lead on the Spurs. And then Wimby started doing everything in the second half, and they slowly crept back and got back in it. And then next thing you know, it's a 2-point game.
What's and up, he, guys? I'm Jalen and Green.
He comes down patient and drives it to the hoop. Doesn't settle, even though he had the three going. Doesn't settle. Gets a 3-point play, an and-1, kind of stems the tide there. And then he hits a huge three to put him up pretty comfortably. And then he puts the game away. And you can tell Greg Popovich is like, not going to let him beat us. But he didn't go Kobe. He didn't go Jordan. Just go take it himself. He drew the defense, trusted Fred VanVleet. Fred hit the dagger three. Bam. He made all the big plays the whole game, mature plays. And from a scoring perspective, Sengun didn't really have it last night. He was really, really good last night. And it's just to see the growth from him. Now, who knows? He could turn around and Joe. Listen, Jalen's tricked me before, and it made me think. But that last night, just that maturity, that was. I was into that. I was into seeing that last night from Jalen Green to see growth.
Let's go, Rockets!
Because you remember the first game we were ticked off. He just kept jacking them up.
Yes,
just kept jacking threes. Shot 15 threes and was 5 of 15 himself. But he 15 of them.
Raindrop.
Like, hey baby, if you shoot 15 of them, we got to be in the 8-9 make range.
My man
just kept putting them up. But in this game, man, he was not afraid of the moment, and not just not afraid of the moment, but he was calm and patient to make the right basketball plays. I love it. Good for him.
Yeah, no, look, you got me intrigued to watch the next one.
Yeah, it was big time. Now, that's the thing with him. And that's the thing with a lot of the young players, but specifically with him is consistency. Like, is this a flash in a pan where you're feeling good tonight, or is this a game that this is going to be your game consistently more nights in than nights out?
Well, the light bulb starts to come on, and at some point you hope that he just adopts that wholeheartedly, and the inconsistency, the young, inexperienced inconsistencies are gone, and we see more of that on a nightly basis.
Yeah,
boy, that'd be a beautiful thing, wouldn't it?
If the new contract put like, oh, let me push it up.
Let me elevate a bit. Yeah.
And he has. I mean, like, I saw a player stat comp, and Anthony Edwards, who they are trying to become the next face of the league. Like, his numbers are comparable and some right above him. Shooting a better three-point percentage, scoring more points a game. He's right there with him in a lot of different categories. And that's a guy that's carrying the Minnesota team, their top guy. And a guy that he's compared to a lot. He was a number one pick in his draft. And Jalen was a number two pick in his draft. And more for their careers, they have been completely on different levels. And it's just the first, what, three or four games. But that was big last night down the stretch to see him make good basketball decisions. So keep it up with the Rockets as they lost that first one, but they've gotten a couple back since. All right, Clint, you talked about you was watching Monday Night Football. I was flipping back and forth from there, and the Steelers are a different team now with Russell Wilson, and they're 6-2, and they won games with Justin Fields, but Clint, they are. This is a different team, and Russell Wilson, he looks like Seattle Russell Wilson. Yeah. He doesn't look like the guy who was in Denver, and the guy who we thought was cooked and done. No, he's putting the ball on the money, looking like old Russ down, you know, throwing the ball down the field. It changes to me how the Steelers are viewed.
Well, hell yeah, it does. I mean, look, I will be right up front. I was dead ass wrong about Russ in Pittsburgh. He is clearly, I mean, he's kicking ass, obviously. So they are going to love the hell out of him. I didn't think it was a good marriage from jump, and I didn't think he would, you know, the first little bump in the road, I thought, boy, they'd turn on his corny ass in a heartbeat. And I think he's played well enough that they're gonna wrap their loving Pittsburgh arms around him and accept some of the flaws that come with him.
That's right.
So I was dead wrong about that. And I'll be honest with you, we hadn't talked about it much because there's no reason to here. But last week I wasn't buying Pittsburgh at, what were they, 5-2?
Yeah, 5-2.
I wasn't buying Pittsburgh. I said, the wheels will come off his thing at some point. You know, Justin Fields.
You didn't think turning to Russ was going to be the.
Not this. After watching last night, though, Ron, this is a really, really, really good football team. They are tremendous on the defensive side of the football.
Never going to be out of a game.
Never. And like you said, the rust that we saw last night, which that's two straight weeks really of kind of just you could see it coming, he is, I mean, surgical from the pocket. And it's deep, it's underneath, it's all the throws all over the field. It is.
Mr. Unlimited. It is
vintage Seahawks rust, and the offense is the same thing. You got one big, tall receiver. You got a good tight end. You got a hellacious run game. I mean,
three straight games over 100 yards for Najee Harris.
Yeah, man. And he looks the part, too.
And they got a good backup in Warren. It's a change of pace that, you know, a little outlet that fits Russ.
Yeah. And they've lost to the Colts and the Cowboys, both with Fields quarterbacking. They lost by 3 points in both of those ball games. But since those two losses, they've won three straight. And guess what, Ron? None of them were single score, one score games. None of them. They won.
Did they win last night by 8, or did they double it up?
Well, no, you're right. I'm blind. It's 26-8. I thought it was 28-18.
That's technically a one-score game.
That is technically a one-score game, but they dominated that game. 37-15 over the Jets, 32-13 over the Raiders. And
last night's game could have been even worse. There was a catch in which you can have one ass cheek and be in, you can have a shin on the ground and be
an
in
elbow.
An elbow, but you can't have your right foot touch twice to count you as in, and that may have been a touchdown. They had another touchdown call.
That's
back
crazy. I didn't know that.
A face mask.
We do not care.
Yeah, that's a good point. He was even better than the box score.
Yeah,
I mean, he made some nasty throws, man, and it's convincing. What they're doing in Pittsburgh is convincing. No surprise with the way Mike Tomlin runs things down there, but it is convincing, Ron. It's Pittsburgh's a really good football team.
Yeah, and offensively, as you talked about their defense, they don't even need this level of offense of production that they're getting.
Ron, I would put Pittsburgh ahead of Texas the Texans right now.
I was going to ask that. So if they're on the if they played, you know, they played a playoff game or something like that, you would think the Steelers are at least not just on their level, but you think the Steelers are a little bit better than the Texans right now.
Yeah, the last night was the addition of Russell Wilson was really, really impressive, man. And it was there's nothing on their schedule where they got the doors blown off of them the way that we did against the Minnesota Vikings. There's, you know, the way in which they're playing really good complementary football on a big stage last night. You know, I think the Texans are really struggling right now to do that. Even when CJ does have a big night and it's box score looks complimentary, he was scrambling for his life and taking big hits. And
offensive line is a lot better.
Boy, last night it just looked very, very convincing, man. They were doing whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted to. He had plenty of room back there to spin it around. Look, that was the Giants. I get it. But that was a very convincing product of the Pittsburgh Steelers right there. I still got the Steelers in tier two. But, yeah, I would say that the Steelers right now, I would rank the Steelers above the Texans right now based on what we've seen.
Yeah, and this next four games for the Steelers, I think, will tell a lot. They're at Washington.
Mm-hmm.
After they got up, they have a bye. They're at Washington. They're home to the Ravens. At a clearly tricky Browns team with Jameis now.
Yeah.
And that defense. And then they're at Cincinnati, who's got to be fighting for their lives. So they have another stretch, Clint, of at Philly, at Baltimore, home Chiefs, at Browns, at Bengals to finish the season. So they've got a tough schedule in the back end. But they are – I don't know if I have them better than the Texans yet. I want to see more of this. Now that it's not just one game of Russ, like it looks more real. It doesn't look like, oh, Russ just had a good one and the Jets are like, those are two decent especially defensive lines, front sevens, the Jets and the Giants that he just faced. And I mean, he's putting it on them. And I do want to say a little bit with Russ. I think we probably should have maybe leaned a little bit more towards, you know what? Maybe it was Nathaniel Hackett that made Russ look so bad that first year. I mean, right, like before he got there, like Russ was like on a Hall of Fame path.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Like he was a guy that was winning games. And I don't think Sean Payton put him like the offense that he is running right now is completely different than what any of them. They're trying to make him throw the ball in the middle of the field. They're trying to make him.
But Ron, we had a conversation about Bryce Young earlier. I think Russ is very similar. Like Russ is not a quarterback, like a Pat or Lamar or even Anthony Richardson who just got benched. Like with a skill set that's just going to go like overcome dysfunction and piss poor play all around him.
Broncos country.
Like arguing on the sideline.
That really suits him.
Yeah. He's not that guy. He's the guy that you put a good supporting cast around him. You put a good dominant head coach that's got the discipline and everything taken care of where his corny ass ain't got to handle none of that. Give him a good wide receiver. Give him a good defense. Give him a good run game. And he's going to go out there and lead the boys to victory.
It's just crazy to me, fellas, that this dude for 10 years, like, man, that's a Hall of Famer. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Mm. He gets with Nathaniel Hackett, who gets fired after five games, and that dumpster fire that was with Denver. Man, Russ sucks. maybe it was that guy.
Stop being a dumpster fire.
Maybe it was that dude. All right, what you got coming up at the fourth?
All right, Nick Caserio spoke on Texans All Access last night, and I'm going to be honest with y'all, this just straight pisses me off. It just straight pisses me off. I mean, I wholeheartedly disagree with Nick Caserio and the rest of them. I'll let you hear that audio of what Nick had to say. We'll cuss and discuss the general manager next right here on Sports Radio 16. And there's something, boys. There's something about corporate America that I'm exhausted with, man. I'm exhausted with it. I've had enough, man. We'll do all that next right here on Sports Radio 16.